I just have to press record again. I thought that I'd done it before, but it's all right. So welcome. I'm so excited. And I've been looking forward to this call with Fiona for such a long time because she has really, really inspired my writing practice this year and helped me in so many ways. So I'm thrilled to get to share her with you. Firstly, let's just talk a little bit about our Zoom that we're using today. Since we've usually been using Instant Tele Seminar, I'll just touch on the things in Zoom again. So we're working today with having the video off so that it's a little bit less distracting and we can really focus in on the questions and listening to one another. If you want to, you can turn your video on, but I think Fiona and I are going to stick with having ours off. Also, you can mute and unmute yourself, or you can just click the raised hand option to speak, and I'll come around and unmute you if you raise your hand indicating that you want to ask a question. If you're on the phone, you can press star 6 to unmute yourself, or star 9 on the phone to raise your hand. You're welcome to comment and ask questions in the chat. You just need to click on the chat box if you're on the web browser to open up the chat box and type them in there. And today we've got the call scheduled for an hour, and Fiona does need to leave on the hour, so we'll keep all the questions within that time frame. And so if you've got a question, please make sure to raise that hand early on so that I can manage our time best and I don't take up all the time asking questions, because I really would love to hear the questions that are on your heart and help move you through your potential or current writing practice and journey. If you need to leave the meeting, feel free. You can do that. I am recording this message, this call, so you can catch up on it a bit later on, no worries. Now, I'll officially begin the call by unmuting Fiona in a minute and asking her some questions, but first of all, I want to take a moment to introduce her to you. So Fiona writes about living a simple, beautiful, and successful life, and she doesn't believe that you have to spend a lot of money to do this. She's also a teacher and a mentor to other writers, myself included, and she shares how she created her dream life as a successful author, as well as inspiration, motivation, and fun action steps to support those writers. So if you've ever wanted to write a book, but perhaps repeatedly put it into the who am I kidding basket, Fiona is the perfect person to chat to. If you're ready to write a book and would love some tips about how to do so or how to enhance your chances of success, Fiona's the person for you. She's the ultimate cheerleader, and I will definitely vouch for that, for budding authors, and I can't wait to have her on the call. I have done Fiona's Create Your Dream Life as a Successful Author e-course earlier this year and just loved it so much. Honestly, it was one of the best e-courses that I've ever taken. I also love her books and have used her tips and processes in my own book writing journey. So I'm beyond thrilled to get to speak with you today, Fiona, and introduce you to our Gentle Business Mastermind folk. Please. I was going to say, if anyone is feeling nerve, oh, that's all right. We don't need to go into that today. So for those of you who aren't familiar with you, Fiona, or your work, would you perhaps please share a little bit about yourself and your story and how you got started with your writing life?
Sure thing. Hi, Nicola. Hi. I'm so, so thrilled to be on this call with you guys. And thank you for such a fabulous introduction. It's pretty cool.
Most welcome.
Okay. Okay, so a little bit about myself and my story and how I got started with my writing life. So I live in New Zealand and I've always lived here. I was born and raised here. And I've always loved reading. I've always been a big reader right from a young age when my mum would take us to the library and we'd get books out, and I'd love getting books for my birthday and Christmas and just loved books. So I always loved reading. And then I guess at some stage I decided, I just would love to write my own book. I'd love to be an author. I just can't even imagine how cool that would be. And I had a lot to say. I was always writing things down. But before the internet, in the old days, it wasn't that easy. And especially in a tiny country We have 4.5 million people in New Zealand. It's so far removed from other big countries where I imagine everything would be easy. And just trying to do something like in my 20s, I did do some writing. So that was like 20 plus years ago. And I looked into how you could find a manager or a publisher, an agent. I didn't really know what all those things were, like which one fitted into which part of the writing process or publishing process. And it just all seemed really hard. And so I just kept putting it away. But I had that little dream in my mind. And then once the internet came along, I saw that people had blogs. And this was in about maybe 2007, something like that. So it'd be maybe over 10 years ago. And I thought, wow, I could have my own little blog and it could be like my magazine of places that I like to dream about and things that I like to write about and just all the pretty stuff that I love to fill my life and my mind with. And that was ended up being a place where I could practice my writing and make it as fanciful and lovely as I liked. I didn't need to worry about real life. I could just have this pretty space that I could go to and dream. And the cool thing was that other people found me and I found other blogs that really inspired me to be more of myself as well, because I could see people just having such a lovely time and really creating their own life for themselves with their blogs and inspiring themselves, inspiring others. And I wanted to do that too. So my writing journey really started, I guess, properly for me anyway, with my blog. And as part of my blog, I did my 30 Chic Days series, and that inspired my first book. It was a completely original book. It wasn't like I did do a book that was a compilation of blog posts that I did to test the waters, because I saw that people were doing these ebook things and I thought, wow, I don't actually need anybody to tell me that I can write a book or publish a book. I don't need to get permission from a publisher that thinks I'm a good bet. I can just do it myself. And I've seen people doing that, and it was low risk. Both in terms of money, I didn't need to spend a lot to do it. I just needed my own time. And it was all low risk in terms of the scariness of it, of failing or people seeing you doing something and not making it good. So it was very, very exciting to me. And I very quickly put a blog book together and published that before I lost my nerve, which is one of my biggest tips in life and things that I go by. Just once you get an idea, like strike while the iron's hot, just do something about it. Do it quickly before you think, who am I kidding? Like you said at the beginning of this call. And then that was well received. Even though you could read it on my blog, people bought it. And I thought, wow. And I did mention that it was a blog book. I didn't say, here's some completely new stuff that you can't read anywhere else. It was low priced and it was, here's a compilation of my favorite blog posts. You can order it for your Kindle or you can read it on my blog, because it's also good to direct traffic to your blog. So it's win-win, even if they don't buy the ebook. And so I got the guts to start putting together a proper book, as I call it, in which I wrote specifically for the book. I had already been writing that book years before, but I kept getting too scared and putting it away. So I got that book out again because I had actually printed it on paper, so it was something I had put literally in a drawer. And I looked at it and I thought, well, it's actually pretty good. I'm quite inspired myself, because I'd written it so long ago that I'd forgotten what I'd written. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to do this. I mean, even if no one buys it, like, I'll have written my book and I'll like it. I'll find it inspiring. Like, I can read it.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's what I did. And it took me a good year to do that, to put it all together. And I procrastinated and I made it perfect, and I spent a lot of time going backwards and forwards over all the different parts of it and deliberating over the cover. And I think part of it is breaking the seal of getting a book out there like that, even though I had done that in a small way with the blog book. But part of it is just learning everything, learning how to upload it to a website, how to navigate those websites when all I had really done, and I guess blogging was a good introduction to the tech world, but everything new you do, you have to learn. And so that's why it took me so long, whereas other books I might have done afterwards in a much shorter time. Yeah, so that's how I started out. And it's not like I'm really special. Anybody can do that. Anybody that has this persistent dream inside them that they think, oh, I really want to write a book. And every time you see somebody that has a blog put a book out, you think, oh, I really wish that was me. Anybody can do it. Even if you don't have a blog.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cam's posted in the chat, she said, this is so helpful to hear. Has it been lot of work publishing it yourself in terms of the marketing?
Well, I think really if you're on social media or a blog, that is your marketing. That's all there is to it. I mean, it's just, it's networking, but it's not really, networking has such a horrible, boring corporate connotation to me, you know, those dire things that you'd go through for work and have a name badge on. But this kind of networking is so much fun. You're connecting with other people on Instagram or your blog or Facebook or wherever, and you're being really inspired by them, and they're in turn loving you. It's just this big mutual admiration society, like my mum always says. And so it's just really visiting people and getting to know them. And I've made some great friends over the years, a small handful of really close friends. None of us have met, but we really know each other well. And we might connect privately, but we do on our public platforms as well. And I think that's so fabulous, because you don't need to be standing in front of somebody to feel like you've met somebody, like a kindred spirit or somebody that's really inspirational to you. It can be, you know, virtual as well.
Yeah, totally. Cam said she's been wanting to write a book that's basically a compilation of her blog posts and podcast episodes, since she knows that not everybody reads or listens to every single one. So thinks it could be a lot of new content for folks. And she wondered if you already had a big platform before you published your book. I'd like to know that too, actually.
I think I had had my blog for a while, and can you hear me, Nicola?
Yeah.
It's great. That's great. That's
perfect.
I was just trying to find where the chat was on my phone and thought I'd muted myself. Okay, so my following. I think I had created a bit of a following, definitely, but it wasn't that big compared to some others. And what I did was, I wouldn't recommend this, I stopped blogging for 18 months and disappeared before I published my book because I freaked out.
Yes.
So when I started my blog, I had my family blog, which was, it was a mix of my family photos and my French chic fantasy life. And it got a bit blurry because people were following me that weren't family members from overseas, friends, you know, blog friends. And I also had my family reading. And I didn't really want to put personal family photos up when my audience started getting bigger. So, and also my family were making fun of me for being so flossy in my mind, because I just am. And I thought, oh, I need to separate this. So I shut my private blog, or made it private, my family blog. And I started a completely new blog that I didn't tell anybody about. I didn't tell anyone in my real life. And I only told my two best online friends at the time, who are still good friends today. And I let it grow organically and secretly away from my family. And that's my current blog. That's howtobechic.com. And now everyone knows about it. That's fine. I don't care that much anymore, but a bit more of a shell on me, I guess, or maybe more of a sense of who I am and happy to be that.
Absolutely.
But that grew just organically. I wasn't doing any advertising on it. I wasn't selling anything. I was just blogging and having a fun time. But as the audience grew bigger, and it did grow bigger because I guess when you write about what you love, that's just natural keywords that people find searching about things. So if I'm writing about creating my own fantasy Parisian life, living here in New Zealand, other ladies that are just as enamored with the French lifestyle, they would find me too. And I would find their blogs and I would visit them in comments. So it just grew like that. But then I felt the pressure, and it wasn't my business. It was just a fun hobby. And I thought, oh gosh, if I'm feeling pressure to post and make it better, and there's lots of people watching, and that was what felt a bit freaky to me, because I'm quite the hideaway introvert that likes to write books in the comfort of my own home and not see anybody. It just got a little bit scary to me and felt overwhelming, and I just ran away. And I didn't plan to come back. I just planned to disappear forever and have a nice, quiet life. And 18 months later, I did miss my blog, but I also didn't miss the self-imposed pressure that I'd given myself. And so, yeah, I came across people blogging and doing ebooks, and I thought, oh, I really miss my blog. And if I was blogging again, I could do an ebook. I sort of had linked them together in my mind,
yeah,
that I couldn't just publish an ebook and not blog. So I guess I have this like natural marketing thing somewhere in my head.
Yes.
Because I thought, well, if I did write a book, no one would know about it, you know. And I didn't really expect anybody to be there still. I hadn't deleted my blog because a lot of people said, please leave it up so we can keep reading the archives. So I did. That didn't worry me. But when I got back, my audience had dropped a lot because people move on to different things. And when you're not updating it, you know, there's only so much they can read. And so they'd gone. I would say it probably had halved my readership. So I still had a bit of a readership. Mm. And that was from 2010 when I started that blog up until early 2016. So it was sort of, I guess, 4.5 maybe years of blogging and 1.5 years of nothing, that I came back to it and immediately put together some blog posts for my first ebook and started on my other one. And it was Denise Duffield Thomas that gave me the push to do that from reading her blog and all her amazing little tips that she gives on her weekly blog posts and videos. And I'm a member of her Money Bootcamp as well. Mm. So I just adore her gentle, laid back, casual, get it done, you know?
But yeah, it's a nice counterpoint, isn't it, to a lot of the other energies that we find online. It's nice as an Aussie, a New Zealander, I agree.
Maybe that just suits us.
Yeah. And so, thanks so much for sharing all of that backstory. I think a lot of people in our mastermind would relate because a lot of us are, you know, a bit on the introverted side or sensitive, and that feeling of being so visible can bring up some things. I guess, was there anything, when you look back, was there anything that helped you to feel safe putting yourself out there again, or was it just a shift and the desire enough to be an author that pulled you back and made the discomfort feel worthwhile?
Yes, exactly. Mm. It was just that strong desire, because when you have the desire to do something, other obstacles just fall away. And of course I made it as safe as I could, because I'm quite a scaredy cat as well. So I wouldn't obviously put things online that people could find out where I live, for example, or things like that. Mm. But yes, I'm happy to share things with my audience. And it's also conditioning your mind, as well as having that desire that you really do want to write a book. And that is that the people that are going to be listening to you aren't scary people. They're lovely people. They are your ideal audience. And if you just keep telling yourself that fear falls away, And often I pretend that nobody's looking, nobody's reading. I just think, should I put this Instagram post up? Oh, it doesn't matter. No one's there. And I'll just do it and I'll just have fun with it. And I'll think, what do I want to do? What do I want to read? What would be fun for me? And you sort of have to keep one eye on how it looks from the outside, because some Instagram accounts are such a turn off. Like, they'll post nothing for weeks and then 16 photos of a baby shower they went to or something like that. You know, you sort of have to curate it a little bit without being, I don't want to ever get too fussy about it, because I'm quite lazy and I don't want to spend hours getting the perfect photo and the perfect caption. I want to live my life as well. And so it's a mix of having it be attractive to look at and read, whether it's my books or my marketing, and also not taking all day about it, like living the lifestyle that I talk about. Because I have done that before too. My husband, Paul, has pulled me up on it. Like when I really got into a masculine work mode, which I admit isn't that often, but when I've sort of really been busting my boiler to do something and getting all grumpy with him and not being much of a fun wife, and he'll say, you need to, you know, switch off the computer and go out for the day tomorrow. Like, you need to live what you're writing about. And it's true. We all need to do that.
It's so
even
true.
Even if we're not writing about it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. Are you, I was wondering if you've got headphones in your phone there to be, or sometimes we're getting a sharp peak in the audio coming through.
Really? That's no good.
Oh, that's better.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've just got the headphones in, but I'm holding the microphone up closer to my mouth.
Okay. That, I think that's great. Yeah.
Cool.
Beautiful. Okay. So have we got any other, if anyone's got questions, just keep popping them in the chat, or I wonder how I can see if you've raised your hands. Let me just double check that. Maybe the best thing to do is to push. Nay, can you see if I, how I can see if there's raised hands? I don't think there's any right now. Pop them in the chat box is the best thing. So moving on, as a self-published author, Fiona, you get to work in a way that best supports you and suits your lifestyle, just like we were just saying. And so instead of having, because, and I love actually that, originally, you began this career while you were working pretty much full time in your own business in a shoe store with your husband. Is that right?
That's correct. And we, sorry, carry on.
Are you, and then that you've been able to transition into being able to do this full time, which is absolute kudos to you for holding on tight to your desires and putting yourself out there and creating your dream life, because you've done it with intention. And I love that. I guess my, yeah, go on.
Yes. So I have always worked in a full-time job before we had our business. I just worked in normal jobs in offices and doing office admin work. And I was always so bored. But I didn't really think I could do anything else. I thought, well, I'm good at organizing, I'm good at typing, I'm good at this and that. So I'll just get an office job and then one day maybe I can be a housewife. And I don't mean be a housewife as in someone take care of me, but I always just, I'm such a homebody. I always dreamed of the day when I could be at home and just be a happy homemaker. And I didn't actually think you could have a career and be a happy homemaker. And now I have that, of course, which I'm absolutely thrilled about. But back in the day, I did my work, and then my husband and I opened a shoe store, and it was a 7-day-a-week business, and there was two of us, and we had a staff member for a couple of years, but for the most part, it was just us. So we shared the 7 days between us. So he worked 6 and I worked 5, and we did a couple of days by ourselves. And that's when I started getting inspired to write. And sure, I did a little bit at work, but often I would get up early and type because I love getting up early. I get up at 6, which might not be that early to some people, but other people look at me like I'm nuts that I work from home and I get up at 6 in the morning, and in the winter it's still dark for another hour and quite chilly, but I just Can't think of anything more fun than going down to my office down the hall with a cozy robe on and a massive cup of tea. Paul bought me this special tea cup for the morning, which I only have in the morning, and it's 500 mils, which is half a litre. And it's not that warm by the time I get halfway down, but if I can be bothered, I'll heat the rest, but I just normally drink it all. And so I had my big cup of tea and I type, and I love it. It's my best time of creativity. And so even when I was working in a full-time job, that's what I did, because I used to get up about maybe 7, like a normal time to get up if we were leaving for work at 8:30, like 9 o'clock maybe even, because our business didn't open till 9:30. But even when I worked in an office job, I'd probably leave about 8. So I decided I'm going to get up an hour earlier and use that time for me to start my writing. And because I'd rather do that than do it at night, but other people might be happy to write at night. I mean, I did write after dinner as well in the early days, but now I just would rather go to bed early and get up really early. So like 8 o'clock, I'm starting to think, oh, I might go brush my teeth, might get ready for bed. So I just love going to bed early. So I wouldn't say that a full-time job should stop you, you know, going for your dreams, thinking, oh, well, I can't really do that because I'm too busy. It's just prioritizing. And a lot of people talk about TV, and I do watch TV, but I know a lot of people watch a lot more TV than I do or I did. Mm. And my husband's a real avid TV and movie watcher, and he's not a reader. So while he was watching something after dinner, I had the laptop on the dining table just writing my book, and we were still spending time together in the same room, but we were both doing something that made us happy. Mm. And we might watch a movie together another night, but sort of weeknights, it was like, oh, this is my, you know, I'm doing this for my future. I'm creating an asset for my future. And I, along the way, I realized that, gosh, if I, you know, this is going quite well, if I kept on going and I was inspired by others who had already done it and showed me that it could be done, then maybe I could get a part-time job, because we sold our business to move areas. When we move and we don't have our business and my husband gets a job, maybe I could get a part-time job and not work full-time and be that happy housewife that I've always dreamed of, like spending time at home, my pets, and pottering and organizing and decluttering and making things pretty and doing my laundry. And I just love stuff like that. Mm. And then before we'd even moved, my income was good, had replaced my full-time income. So I thought, oh, this is my job. This could be my job. And it was just the most incredible feeling. And it also came with me. It's not like, you know, a job somewhere. Mm. If you move to a different area, you have to find a different job. I just took my job with me. And it's not hourly rate either. It's, you know, create a book. You put all the work in up front. You write that book. You start your marketing with your Instagram or your blog. And it starts the ball rolling. It gathers momentum. And if you keep at it, it will get bigger. It only won't get bigger or stop if you stop. So, yeah, I think a lot of people probably give up before they get to that point. And I've been doing it for, I think, two and a half years now. And I can see I've got many, many years left, like decades left. And you think, wow, what could you achieve then?
Mm.
Like, it, you know, it might seem small at the start, but just carry on. Just don't give up.
I love that in your e-course, one of the things that helped me was you were saying, you know, just think about writing your book as a small thing, because your mind likes to make it into a big thing. It's just a tiny thing. And imagine if you've, instead of writing one book, you're going to write 20 books. What would that be like? And all of a sudden my mind was just blown. I was like, oh my God, so I don't have to put all my ideas into one book and feel like I'm bloated with these, you know, disparate ideas.
And
yeah, it was so freeing. It was wonderful.
Bloated.
Pregnant pregnant with ideas, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Because you do. You think, this has got to be the best book I've ever written. It's got to have every idea I've ever had in it. And just that massive mountain you've made for yourself to climb, you're going to give up and just sit at the bottom with a
that's right.
cold
that's
drink. Right.
Yeah. And then when I saw your books, you know, and you've got you've written about a diversity of subjects. You've written about finance, about being chic and slim, your beautiful 30 chic days that we've talked about, just like a mixture of all of those things, plus, you know, home life and everything. Mm-hmm. How did you go about deciding what topics you were going to focus on and, you know, choose one? That's something that they say, you know, just choose one. Well, how did you go through that process?
I wasn't strategic at all. I didn't plan anything out. I just think, oh, what would I like to write next? And I've always loved personal finance. I've always been into being successful with your money and being a good steward of your money. So I really wanted to write a finance book. But the cool thing about writing books, and especially ebooks, is that they don't have to be a certain length. They can be any length you want. I mean, I've seen ebooks that are 20 and 30 pages in length, which is like a, you know, a couple of chapters to me. But if, of course, if you want to publish in print, which I recommend that you do eventually, if not straight away, because it's the more of an audience to reach with the same material, even if you don't publish in I just lost my train of thought.
You're talking about having, you could have shorter ebooks or yes, shorter, yeah.
Yes, thank you. So if you have a topic that you think might not fill up a whole book, and probably I could have with finance, but for example, my Chic and Simple Christmas book, I had the brainstorm one day. I thought, oh, Christmas always stresses me out, but I love it at the same time. Why is that? How can I make it better? And so I thought, I'm going to write a Christmas book about making your ideal Christmas. And not that I'm a particularly Christmassy person, but it's such a, it's a big part of the year for a lot of us. And I thought, well, it's not going to really, you know, I don't think I've got enough ideas to fill a whole book, or I don't want to spend that much time, because a whole book, it does take a bit of time to curate it and put it together. But I just made a short book, which is probably about half a book, like it's a half size book. And it's just a quick, inspiring read about creating your own ideal Christmas experience and December experience. So you can do things like that with topics that you think might not be big enough to for a whole book, and you can have different length books on different topics. And my bigger books are books that I had more to say about them, and 30 Chic Days can't be any shorter because it has to have 30 chapters. I always think, oh, maybe I should have done 21 chic days, and then I, because coming up with my chapters, like, it's really good though. It's like forcing a bulb, you know, those beautiful spring flowers. It gets all the good ideas out when you really stress your creative mind to come up with more. That's when the good stuff comes out. But still, make it a small thing. Don't make it a big thing. Yeah.
I'm going to unmute you, Cam, because you've got lots of questions, and I think your hand just went up. Can you hear me, Cam?
Yes. Hi.
I can.
I lowered my hand as soon as I raised it, but
I got you.
Well, Fiona, do you write both fiction and nonfiction?
I write nonfiction currently, but I have dabbled in fiction, and I really would love to write a fiction book. I've written a chapter so far of my nonfiction book. And what I really love fiction books for, because I always enjoy a good story, but I love it when they inspire you to do better, like a makeover type fiction book, or someone who really transforms themselves. That's my favorite kind of fiction book. So I would love to write one of those one day, like complete one.
This is really inspiring to hear. I mean, I haven't written a book yet, but that's like my next creative project that I already started doing, actually. But I've only thought of myself as a nonfiction writer. However, I do write some fiction, but I don't think I'll ever publish it, because I'm like, no, I'm not a fiction writer. Who would ever, like, I'm bad at that, or nobody would read it. But you're like listening to you, I'm like being inspired in so many ways. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe I will write a fiction.
And just write it for yourself. Don't write it for anybody else.
Well, that's what it is currently. But
yeah. Like, you don't have to publish it, but at the end you might think, this is awesome, I'm going to publish it. But you don't have to. You can just write it exactly for yourself. And every time you feel scared off by, I'm not a fiction writer, what would people think of it? They're going to think it's rubbish because it's not real fiction. You can just think, well, I'm not going to show anybody, so it doesn't matter. I can just write it for myself. And just write it exactly the way you would love to read it. Make it as inspiring as you want it to be. Include all those little details that people might think are stupid that make you feel happy. And that's how it's going to be amazing.
I love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's good advice.
Okay, I'll mute you again, Cam, and you can pop your hand up again and I'll grab you.
Okay. Even if she doesn't want to be grabbed.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. Thanks for joining the conversation.
Thanks, Cam.
Thank you.
Love that. So I wonder, was there a point when you started to see like a tipping point for sales? I guess your 30 Chic Days book took off well with the sales. But did you find in terms of strategy that having, you know, it's not about just putting one book out and then thinking I've created my dream life as a successful author is what I'm trying to say, I suppose.
Correct. Correct. You do need to carry on. And sometimes when I see an author that I've loved their book and I go to see what other books they've got on Amazon and they only have one book, and I think, what are you doing with your time? Like, write another book. I want to read it. Yes. And don't just leave your readers hanging. They really want to read your next book.
Mm.
And that's how you're going to create that dream life as a successful author, by putting out book after book. And you'll realize when you've done the first one, you've got more ideas inside you. And when you're having fun brainstorming ideas for books, it'll just be, they'll come tumbling out of you and you'll think, oh, how am I ever going to write all these books? I've got so many ideas. But that's the cool thing. You've got many years left to write your books. And the other fantastic thing about being an author is that it's not limited by age. I mean, Louise Hay was writing books in her 80s and still, you know, doing amazing things. And a lot of authors only got started in their 40s and beyond and got successful authors like, just off the top of my head, I think Stephen King was later in life, J.K. Rowling, E.L. James, all those sorts of names. There's so many of them. There's some great Facebook posts that do the rounds that show you all of the famous authors that only got started in later life. And so it's really exciting, and you do need to do more than one book. And just basically, you live your life and you have fun, but you also show people that as well with your writing and with your marketing, which is your preferred social platform. Like, you share yourself with your readers and they get to know you as a friend. They become invested in your life. And I suppose some people could do it in a sort of a really manipulated way. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm too lazy for that. I can't be bothered. I just want to have...
That's why I like you so much, Fiona.
Really? But other things too with my time, like I don't know, just things that I do. It's not that I don't want to give time to that, but I think people can make it harder than it needs to be. That's probably more what I'm trying to say.
Mm.
And do it in a very precise, perfect way. But as we know, perfectionism is paralyzing. And I've also heard it's for broke people, perfectionism, because you'll procrastinate so much and not get stuff out. Like Denise Duffield Thomas talks about half-assing it, and her whole business has been built on half-assing it. And by that, it doesn't mean that she does stuff in a crap way. And I can relate to that, because what she's more saying is that you think, oh, this book isn't good enough, but oh, it's pretty good, and I've done all my best I can do on it right now, so I'll just put it up for sale on Amazon, and then I'll go back and make it all perfect later. Mm. And nothing's ever perfect. I've even seen errors in traditionally published books that I've gotten from big authors on Kindle or even in print sometimes. And so it's not that you're letting anybody down by being this procrastinating perfectionist who has to have everything highly polished before it goes out. I love a bit of realism in my mentors and authors. Mm. And while that imperfect book, but you know, amazingly good 99% perfect book is up on Amazon, you can write your next one, you can be starting your next one, and you can be putting together information products for people, you can be putting together your blog posts and your marketing, and just doing everything imperfectly but with passion and fun and joie de vivre. And people forgive a lot. You think you have to be perfect to be online and in the public eye, but there's actually not that many people looking at you, and they're not nitpicking for errors or little things. Mm. And I guess I've become, in my own writing field, a little bit well known, and I've had one email ever that wasn't pleasant, and it was just that she told me she hated 30 Slim Days, my book. And that I shouldn't write books. But apart from, and I felt bad for her because she said she was morbidly obese and she'd obviously tried everything and this is just another disappointment. And, you know, it's a sad situation. But no one has ever just out and out been nasty to me for no reason. And so, yeah, it's not that scary.
That's great. And I love your willingness to share your joy. I think that that's is a brave thing as well, because sometimes it can feel like, you know, you don't want to be putting yourself up on a pedestal or feeling like, you know, showing off that your life is so great. But it's such a blessing to see other people enjoying their life and having created a lifestyle that suits them and, you know, it uses their gifts and all of that. And I just love how you willingly share that with a very light touch of not taking yourself too seriously as well. It's lovely. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And it's so true. I've been inspired by people to do bigger things because they have shown that they're doing well or that they have created this amazing way of earning a living for themselves. And I want to pass that on to others as well. Mm. I want to pay it forward. Because a lot of people, I guess, are frightened of showing off, and particularly in New Zealand and I think Australia as well, there's the tall poppy syndrome where, you know, if you're too full of yourself, then people don't like that. And my mum has said that to me before, like when I've been excited about something and she's like, oh, people don't like that, you know, if you talk about money, that kind of thing. Because I said, oh, mum, guess, like, because I did have a really good first month with my first proper book. Like, I earned $10,000 in my first month. And I told my mum, and she wasn't that excited for me, like, because she's got a real money thing, like, anti-rich people. And she's not poor, but she's not rich. I guess she's just normal. And so you're just sort of careful who you talk about stuff to. But I guess if someone's following your blog for what you write about or your Instagram or on my e-course, I talk very candidly about my readership numbers and my income because they're all interested in that information. So I guess it's pick your audience as well. Yeah, so I've learned from that. But I am really inspired by people that show how well they're doing. So I want to be that way as well. And that's all it comes down to is, like, you write what you want to read about. You are your own customer, basically.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got three ladies, Sam, Naomi and Cameron, are all dying to know more about your writing process. Do you map it out? Do you do an outline and then write, etc.? Or do you just write and see what comes? How does it work for you?
I do a little bit of everything. I have tried many different ways, and that's probably what I'd recommend, is just to try all the ways that you find out about and see what works well for you. And also don't expect one way to work well all the time, because I think I'm always looking for the magic bullet. Yeah. I'm looking for that one perfect way of doing something that can just set me up for the rest of my life, and I never have to explore another avenue because, again, lazy. And so I think, oh, right till 6 to 8 every morning. That's what I'm going to do. And so then I go, oh, no, I'm just going to read a book in bed this morning with my tea and then write at 10 o'clock. So I think, oh, I haven't worked that out perfectly.
You're a rebel tendency too, aren't you?
Oh, my goodness, yes, I can't help it. So if I try and put myself into this schedule, I just rebel against it straight away. It's just exhausting. But anyway, that's just how it is. With my how I write, I do work really well from an outline. I love brainstorming ideas. So there's a 50 ideas method that Brian Tracy gave to me, not personally, but I did read it or listen to it in one of his videos. And he is cool. He's one of my only male mentors, Brian Tracy. Mm-hmm. And by mean mentor, just in that I follow him. I don't like, you know, have private calls with him or anything. But the 50 ideas method is to think about your book. And you think, okay, this is my book. This is my topic that I want. And you just write down 50 ideas or themes or sentences to do with that book, everything that you want to include in it. And once you've got those 50 ideas, I'll often do it on paper, but sometimes I'll do it on the computer, but then I'll transfer it to the computer if I'm on paper, because then you can move those sentences or themes or ideas around into blocks that they go together. So you might end up with several chunks of ideas. And I did this for my Financially Chic book, and I wrote down everything I wanted to cover. And it wasn't just about being a good manager of money, it was about creating a life of abundance without spending a lot of money. It was sort of a mix of being frugal and being abundant, like melding it together, because that's just what I do and how I like to live. And so I had, I can't think of the exact chapters now, but those 50 ideas, and again, to get to 50, you really have to squeeze out the last few. Like the first ones are easy. It's just all the top of mind stuff. But as you get it down deep into that list of 50, you're really having to get blood out of stone. Mm. And that is where the gold is mined. And then you move them all around and put them into sort of several chunks of 6 or 7 topics each. And you've got chapters with subtitles, and you just fill in the blanks, put it together like a patchwork quilt. And so you go to that chapter, and you might find that one of the titles in one section is a natural chapter fit, or you might look at all the subtitles and think, this chapter is called that, like a separate name. And basically you just start typing in, that, you know, you take a subtitle and you write 500 words on it. And you don't need to write it in order either. You can write the part that looks the most fun, or the part that you're in the mood for that day, or a part that's just topical for you at that time. And you can write it all in pieces, and then when it's all glued together, you read through it and you sort of refine it. Like just the natural act of reading through it, you will find ways to sort of smooth the edges between, you know, going from one section to another. Or if you've repeated yourself, you'll think it suits this section better. And reading out loud is fantastic for this. I love reading a book out loud because it really highlights so much better than reading it just in your head as you normally would read a book. You skip over things when you do that. Mm. And words sometimes that jump out when you're reading it out loud just sit there happily, like incorrect or slightly words that could be better when you read out loud. So that's a good tip as well. And so that's just one way of outlining a book. Another way, like for my 30 Sheet Days book, I just brainstormed my 30 chapters that I wanted. I already had a lot of them from previously writing it, but I'm currently writing 30 more sheet days because it was such a popular book, and I had a lot more on the topic. So I have, it's about creating a beautiful life or magical life with an amazing mindset. Mm-hmm. So I have brainstormed 30 new chapters for that sort of add to my first book. And then it's basically a matter of writing an essay for each chapter and putting in subtitles afterwards. Like I sort of go through that chapter, which might be a 2,000 word block. And as I read it, there's natural sections where it goes on to different things that I put in a little subtitle. And it might be a subtitle that's just basic for now, but I like to sexy them up later as well if I can't think of anything at the time, because sexy subtitles and sexy chapter titles really make you excited. Like they make you enjoy the chapter more than a chapter title that's really perfunctory.
I love this reminder that there's a quote that I've heard Todd Henry said, nobody sits down to write a book, you only sit down to write a section.
True.
Yeah. And just working in those pieces and thinking about it even as, you know, I'm just basically writing a blog post and then you join them together and it forms a book. It's not such a big, scary, intangible and impossible mountain to climb when you break it down.
So like, true. And I've even thought that sometimes, like with my current book I'm writing, it's, before I talk about that, I'll talk about word count. I love to structure a book by word count because it helps me make sense of things, because you think, well, how would I know how long a chapter is, or how would I know how long to write on this subject? It's sort of those little seemingly silly things that stop you when you're a beginner. And so in the beginning, I researched how long a book was, and I found out that a nonfiction book is a figure that I saw a lot of was 65,000 words. So I thought that's a good enough place to start. And if my book's called 30 Sheet Days, I'll divide that into 65,000. And it was from there that I decided I would do 32,000 word chapters, roughly. I like aim for 2,000 words. And by the time I had sort of gone at least 2,000 words for each chapter, added an introduction, I always like to add some little bonus chapter at the end, because I like that in books that I read. I like it when you think you're finished and they give you another bonus chapter or a fun 100 list of ways to do this. I love those sorts of things. So I put them often in my books as well. And I thought by the time I do all that, that's a book. That's 65,000 words. And that's what they are. And I think my two big books are that much. And my smaller books, I think they're like 30,000 to 40,000 words. But again, like with my Christmas book, I think it's got 6 chapters. So you think, well, that's this many words per chapter, and you've got bigger subsections, and then you've got a book. And writing my current book, which I'm doing my 32,000 word essays plus extra bits, I think, God, people are just paying me to write a blog post 30 times. Yes. It would be a long blog post, but that's actually what it is. So like you see with people where they might have a high priced course, their free stuff is often not much different to their paid stuff, but there's just, it's different and there's more of it and you can't get it anywhere else. And that's why I'm happy for people that I adore their work. I'm happy to get all their paid stuff, because it is more of what you love. And that's what people are paying me and you for as an author. They're enjoying your free information on your social media or blog, but they're also rewarding you by spending $5 or $10 to get more. They want more of you. Yeah, so it's just an option for them. Yeah, like if selling feels not good to you, if you think, oh, how can I charge money for that, which is obviously still something I think of too, if I'm thinking this is just 30 blog posts, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
How dare I sell that.
I'm mindful that we've only got 5 more minutes left with you, or 4 now. Anyone's got any questions, please, please raise your hand or pop them in the chat. My question for you is, how do you help yourself to get through that last 20% of polishing your creative project or finishing your manuscript? Because I always say, like with painting, doing that last 20% is what really brings it together and makes it so that it shines. And it can feel like a little bit of an uphill slog, but what do you have, any things that you rely on to help you
It's exactly where I am at the moment because I'm editing and polishing my book, mm-hmm. my current book that I'm getting out soon. And I think it's just going through it over and over again. It's putting it through the sieve or the sifter like you would to really refine something. Like you would do all, like you do your editing by reading through and reading it out loud. I read it backwards sometimes, not like each within a chapter, but I'll start at chapter 30 and then read chapter 29. Because sometimes when you start in the same place, it just all just seems the same, you know, it doesn't seem different, but you see different things when you're going backwards through the book. Mm-hmm. Reading it on the screen, reading it on paper, I send it to my Kindle and read it on my Kindle, and that picks up different things too. So that's all the sort of technical things. But in terms of the mindset things, it is easy at the end to think, I just want to get it out. You know, I'll just put it out. It's pretty good. But then I know I'll be disappointed if it's not as good as I could make it. And so I just create the excitement for myself about how I'll feel when it's out, which stops me. Because I think when you're writing, you're sort of really pushing forward. And then when you come to the editing, it almost feels like you can have a rest because you've finished writing, but you've still got to do all the editing and get it out. And that can sort of last a lot longer than it needs to with me, and I sort of can think, oh, the book's finished, it'll get out when it gets out. But that's not the right way to think about things, Fiona. So I make myself excited about getting that book out, and I've also written little what are they called when you create a future, like a future vision for yourself, or scripting, some people call it. So I'll just write a page in my journal that says, like, I did this for 30 Chic Days as well in some of my other books. Like, I think the 30 Chic Days being my first big one, I really procrastinated a lot and tried to make it perfect, and that ended up just being me sitting there doing nothing, feeling frozen. So I wrote a journal page that sort of went along the lines of, I'm so excited that my book, 30 Chic Days, has been a huge hit. Many people have written to me saying how much they've enjoyed it. And I actually did say in that thing that I had made sales of $10,000 in 1 month. And that's exactly what I did, which freaked me out a little bit, because prior to that, my biggest month had been $2,500. Mm-hmm. So to quadruple it was a big call. And I sort of thought maybe I could do $5,000. But I thought, no, this is a little dream I've got here, like my little dream vision to get me inspired over the finish line. So I said that, and it actually happened. Mm. And I just wrote down how I'd feel and that I'd feel so proud. And it probably was worded better than I'm wording it right now. But you just, create that future vision. And that also helped me push forward and finish it off.
I love that. I love that. And very quickly to wrap up, or take as long as you like, but just would you like to share a little bit about Create Your Dream Life as a Successful Author? Because I imagine our members would be very interested in learning some more about that.
Oh, sure thing. That'd be great. Thank you. So I created this course. I can't think why I did, but I just had this. I actually had a lot of people write to me and said, oh, I really want to find out your, you know, how you've done this, because I've watched you over the years go from blogging to doing what you're doing now, and I really want to do that too. So I started writing down all the information that, how I'd done it, both the technical things and how I write my books, through to the mindset work and how I'd upgraded my abundance mindset and what I call my millionaire author mindset, and just creating this beautiful dream future in my mind to go towards. And so I put all this information together, and I was going to write a book, but it was just, it was too much to put into a book. And there were things I couldn't put in a book either. Like there was all information on like worksheet information and all my journaling type work that I do, and all my inspiration that I wanted to share. And there was just so much stuff that I thought, well, if I do this as a course, then we can also do things like Q&As and have a Facebook group, and it will be something that will be really helpful to people far more than a book, because books are good, but for me personally, I've always got a lot out of courses. So I wanted to share everything that I know in a course. And so that's how it came about. And it actually, it was probably bigger than writing a book, because all the modules, let alone all the worksheets and extra sort of tip sheets and inspiration pieces and all the audios, just the modules alone come to 72,000 words, which I wrote a book in 6 weeks, basically. Mm. Because, well, not in 6 weeks, a bit longer than that, because I had already put a lot of the information together, but I also added to it and polished it and refined it as I went over the 6 week live course. And it's now available as a home study course. And the Facebook group is open ongoing. So we've got, I think, 44 authors on that course now. So it's still quite small, which I think is really neat, because it's still quite personal. And so if anybody is interested in something like that, I think it's bit.ly/writersuccess is the short link I have made, or bit.ly/writersuccess. But I'm at howtobechic.com or Fiona at howtobechic.com if you want to email me if I've remembered that wrong. So we've got, not only am I here for questions and help in the Facebook group, along with doing the 6 week course, a home study course, but I think it's really cool that all the fellow authors, fellow budding authors, are in that group and able to talk to each other and support each other. And like, I've bought everyone's book that's been published so far, and I'm sure lots of other people in the group have as well. And we've had people interviewing each other for their blog, so it's sort of cross-pollination of blog audience, or people that have similar topics, and just encouragement, and like a writer's group, but you know, everyone's at home in their own countries. And it's not just beginner authors too. I've got a lady who's written fiction for 20 years and she wanted to go into non-fiction. So I thought, what does she want to come and learn from me for? She's been writing and publishing with a proper traditional publisher for 20 years, but she said non-fiction was new to her and she needed to do her own marketing. And she's actually got a new lease on life. I can see that, this particular lady, because she'd sort of been quite down after her mum died. And I can see just how up she is now. Like, she was sort of quite depressed before, just in herself, and so it's given her something to work towards, which I think is so fabulous. I'm she's really happy on, to be a small part of that.
Yeah, she's on fire, isn't she, in the group? It's lovely. It's really
Definitely. Yes. So I welcome anybody to email me about that, or come and have a look at my blog if they want to find out more.
And they can sign up for your writer's encouragement letters too, can't they, from their blog, from your blog?
Yes, on my blog there is a button that says, have you ever dreamed about starting your own, being an author, I think it is. And yeah, I send out, I think it's 10 emails, and they're chock full of tips and information and my favorite resources, and just basically a lot of ways that you can start writing without, and it's free, it's not part of my e-course. And I've also had a lot of good feedback from that, from people saying that they've started their books. One lady has published a book from following those emails, so that's really cool as well.
That's wonderful. Yeah, they're really, really valuable. Well, thank you so very, very much, Fiona. It's been a real pleasure and delight speaking with you today. And thanks very much for making time in your morning to spend time with our members and answer questions and share all your wisdom and experience. It's just been brilliant.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks so much, Nicola. And thank you, everybody who came along. And I hope you got some good information, some good nuggets that you can use. And please tag me if you want to let me know what you're up to with your writing, or anything that you've, any ahas that you've got from this interview. I'm on Instagram at Fiona Ferris NZ, and my Facebook is Fiona Ferris Author.
Wonderful. And we'll include those links too in our Facebook group, so everyone can have easy access to you.
Lovely.
Well, thank you very much, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Fiona as much as I did. And thanks so much for your juicy questions and your presence and being here. And we look forward to seeing what comes out for you in the coming weeks and months ahead. Thanks, everyone. And I hope
Thanks,
you have a
Nicola.
Wonderful Thanks, day. Thanks, Fiona. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.